Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Well, welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm your producer, Gwen Berry, and I have with me today our co-host, Wayne Johnson, and author Ronald Feynman, and the captain over at Roundtree 7, David Williams, who's from the beautiful state of New Mexico, which to me is a gorgeous state because it's one of the four corners. I've been through it, and I find it beautiful. Gentlemen, the one thing I wanted to get each of you to tell me today is, do you think there's a coup going on here or what with this postal thing and everything else that's coming down the pike this week? I mean, and I promise I won't go astrological on you.
Well, I would start off by saying I think it's an attempted coup, but already it's starting to fall apart because the House is coming back, I gather, the week after this one. And they're going to be questioning the Postmaster General. And from what I read online, it seems like the whole thing is falling apart. So I hope that's true. It's got to fall apart.
Yeah, Dave, your opinion. I'll go last.
Well, I think Trump being Trump, he's always worked every single angle that's possible. And he's never let the laws or any kind of previous normalcy to holding back. And, is it a coup? I don't know. I mean, I certainly think he's going to try every single thing to try to keep himself in office.
Yeah,
I think he suspects that he's not going to be elected.
Right.
And he doesn't want to leave the White House because he knows what happens next.
That's where I'm coming from is he knows that if he loses the protection of the presidency, there are plenty of arrest warrants. There's plenty of demanding of collecting evidence for basically the raping young girls and women, attempting and stuff. They're asking for his DNA. And basically he knows that if he loses, these things are going to come down on it. He's going to pull time in jail. And it's the old saying, a drowning man will drown everyone else around him trying to keep himself afloat. And this is just another tactic of Trump trying to keep himself afloat, of creating this post office coup.
Go ahead. Well, actually, there's two things here. Deutsche Bank turned over his tax records or his financial
to New York, yes.
To the New York prosecutors.
And that he cannot be pardoned for.
There is a very interesting poll out by Axios, which I consider a duly diligent source of news. They're out there, not them doing the poll, but the cultivation of all the polls together. And 58%, apparently, of Biden voters say the vote is more against Trump than for Biden. So you got that going on the other end. So It's like watching clowns juggle together. You know, who's going to catch what ball and when are they going to drop them, as far as I can tell right now.
I'll be honest, I don't find Biden that particularly exciting. He's just another 70-year-old white guy that
But Carmella Harris.
I really don't know what he stands for other than – try to keep a little bit of sanity, and I'm not Trump, but I'm certainly willing to give him a shot.
Joe Biden, I think he's a lot better than you're making him out to be. I've always been
Joe
Biden.
He may be, and I'll tell you what, though, I know what Trump is, and I know I'm not going to vote for that. No way in hell. So, I think at this point, Biden could go on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone.
Any candidate has ever been, so I think it's a good sign. As far as comparing every candidate, when it comes to the conventions, where they stand in public opinion polls, he's better than anyone going back to 1992 as far as having a lead. And, many of them didn't even have a lead, who went on to be the president. So I think he's in very good shape, even though there is this attempt at suppression of votes. But I don't think it's going to work.
Well, Ron, that's really quite true, I imagine. But here's the thing. Basically, there is no other choice. And that came about because not all the states were primaried. And we are under, in 1992, you didn't have a plague affecting the whole country and the whole world. There's a lot of mitigating factors here. But the other part about this that's interesting, if I can just get this in there, if you take a look at the opposite polls here, you have a malignant narcissist whose selfishness is on display and demonstration consistently. And the one thing I will say about Biden is that I do believe he's a sincere, empathetic man, and that empathy is completely in contrast to who Trump is. So if you're taking a look at the symbolicism and bigger picture here, you have, you know, you got your rebels and your empire, basically. You know, that's what I'm seeing.
I want to say that I think the two key words about both Joe and Kamala is empathy and compassion. And we've never had a team, I think, as much displaying, not just now, but in their career, empathy and compassion. They make me feel very, very good because they really are sincere, decent, not perfect, of course, but sincere and decent human beings, and we need that now.
Right.
Well, I'll throw this out there. I think that this election is more than just who's going to be the next president. I think it really is sort of going to be defining, I hate to use that term, the soul of the country. And
I like that.
If Trump gets four more years, I'm really afraid for the country.
The neo-Nazis, the incivility towards others, those
we're
who have power to think that they can just, you know, berate somebody because they look Spanish. Go ahead.
We are damn near done now. We are damn near done now. That's just the
we
truth.
Are right, and that's what Biden. I'll tell you what. Now let me put this in real quick. That's what makes Biden palatable because he is being viewed as a stable hand on the tiller. Let's get shit stopped. Let's get things going in the right direction. We have Carmela Harris here who can bring.
Good choice,
Kamala.
Kamala.
It's Carmela. I'm sorry, I meant Carmela. Yeah.
Kamala. Sorry.
Kamala.
Yeah, Kamala is a fantastic choice. And I do believe, because I've said this,
right,
that very likely in the next term it would be President Pence or President Harris at some point. I do think there's a good chance, no matter who is, that the person would not stay in office 4 years. I hope that Joe does, but
yeah,
I'm just
yeah.
I don't think Trump would either. So I really think we're electing either Pence or Harris.
Well, you know what community I come out of, gentlemen.
Sure.
Nobody in my community, in fact, myself, I think what we're looking at, it was very important for me, and I was getting real bitchy about who's going to be VP. And I do believe that within 18 months, it's going to be President Harris, not President
Biden.
Yeah,
at some point, I think it will be, yeah. And a lot better than President Pence.
Right, exactly. And plus, too, let's take this one more step forward. Let's use John Nash's game term. It's not only the president and vice president, the potential vice president who will step into the presidency, but, and this is the critical part, is what's going to be the makeup of the Supreme Court making rulings here from that for the next generation.
And also the cabinet members be far better than the corrupt cabinet members of Trump. Yes, you're right.
Yes,
the Supreme Court.
This is also a much bigger picture. This is what we also have to address.
Well, it's not just going forward with all of that. Myself, I sit back and I think about what kind of a team is Biden assembling right now to immediately begin to issue whatever kind of subpoenas are needed and to issue warrants against those who have obviously been committing crimes in office while Trump's been in presidency. This can't go.
That's another point. It's always been almost an unwritten rule that the the previous president does not go after the president that's exiting the White House.
Mm-hmm. That can't stand. If that stands, people will
It may change. You know, it may seem like Trump has sort of changed the game, but what happens if Biden gets in office and he doesn't pursue everyone?
Well, no, but here's
I think
here's
he will. I really
scenario.
Think he will, but
this
my God,
why,
if he doesn't.
This is why New York, the state of New York attorneys are going after Trump, because they can basically, you can remove Biden from the equation and he doesn't have to do the distasteful
that's
thing
bullshit.
Of making sure he's
that's,
being prosecuted.
That's
or
bullshit,
those other
because there are a lot more. There are a lot more criminals at a guilty stand right now for what
right.
has happened to this country. And I'm talking about the improprieties that have been conducted by people like McConnell and his wife, people like Munch.
Munch. Well, that's up to
control. All cabinet members are corrupt under Trump. Never seen anybody like this to this extent. Even Nixon didn't have all bad people, you know.
All of these people need to be brought to task. That just has to happen. And
yes,
if it doesn't,
I'm not disagreeing with you,
the Biden presidency is a fucking joke. And the sooner he's out, the better. I really mean that.
I'll take it one step farther because this is where, Glenn, we've spoken about this on the radio show, my time in South America, and I saw the atrocities of Pinochet and the military junta in Argentina did to their the lost children of Argentina. Those who were complicit went along with it, just following the orders, I'm doing air quotes there, of locking, separating children from their parents, locking them in cages because the parents came up to the border because they had the hounds of hell on their heels from the countries they've left, legally asking for political asylum, and the first thing they did was put them in jails. I want to see a Nuremberg-type trial of those who complicit and went and completed those acts that Trump was demanding. That was crimes to humanity. I want to see that come up.
I agree with you. I don't think it'll happen,
but I want to see it. If it were me, that's the pursuit I'd also add into there, too.
Yeah, I would like to see it, too. I number one on that list, I think, would be Barr. I think
he needs to be in an orange jumpsuit. There's no question.
Yeah,
there's
but
no
what
question.
We want and what
Jeff
is
Sessions
going to be
look-
happening is two separate things, I believe.
Right.
I'm just putting that out there, you know, the political landscape may be that Biden sort of takes a, I don't know, let's mend the country or something like that and reconciliation.
Yeah, that isn't going to fly with who.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will.
I think that the people will get in the streets again if Biden tries to pull that off, and I think his VP will be pushing for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If
yes.
she's got any kind of integrity whatsoever,
right,
then
right.
she will. And I do think she has some. I think she's trying to figure out where she's going with this. You can tell in her hesitancy in some places so far that she's
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out where her stand is. I mean, it looks
right.
to me that way. But it can't be that. I have another question. How do you think we're going to fare in the Senate races so that we can shift McConnell? Because the son of a bitch is going to win Kentucky because he'll stuff ballot boxes to do it. He cheats.
Well, I'm not so sure he will win, also with Graham. But I think the Democrats are going to gain more than the minimum seats needed. I think they're going to win 53 to 55 seats.
Dave, your call.
I think the Democrats will win the Senate. I think it'll be close. But I do think McConnell's going to win Kentucky.
The polls shows it's pretty close. Same with Graham. In fact, Graham's behind his opponent in South Carolina in many polls.
I'm not saying
that
I wouldn't want him to lose, but I'm just, you know, he's been around there for so long.
Yeah, I want to see Graham lose, but I have to agree with the professor. Well, I have to agree with you, David. McConnell, and knowing the mentality of, you know, we'll say the religious conservatives, the evangelicals.
He owns the state. Come on,
yeah,
guys. Who owns this state?
He's brought
he's
so much money
Republic.
To that state. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of the money
that's a governor. It's a Democrat.
In there.
Remember that. The governor is a Democrat.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. McConnell will bulldoze over anybody he has to hold a seat of power right now, because he knows if he doesn't have that Senate seat in behind him, that he's going to get stuck in the same damn cattle car as the rest of them who have been the indictments will come down, and the indictments will come down on his wife irregardless.
Right.
You know?
Right.
What I saw polls show
amazing is how
incumbent
quickly
senators is the lowest rating.
Well, guys, one at a time, because you're just coming totally garbled to me.
Okay, I'm saying
I think that
polls I've seen show very low against any other senator running for re-election. I don't.
What'd you say, David?
What I was going to say is it's going to be amazing how quickly a lot of Republicans are going to turn against Trump. And sort of say I never was sort of in that train of thought and all this stuff. You know, I mean, they're looking to say they're political hides, and you're going
to
see some real politicians at work after the election.
I
Mitt
think
Romney's already setting up
that
scenario
that.
For himself. Okay.
Who?
Mitt Romney's already setting that scenario up for himself. Hey, I spoke out against him.
Mitt Romney did speak out against him. Mitt Romney has been about
Mitt
the
Romney
only Republican.
Mitt Romney himself up for that denial, that feasible denial of I was not part of this Trump-ass shit show.
Well, he hasn't been, actually.
I agree with you.
But the senator over there in Maine, you know, has had it against her.
Yes, I think she's toast.
The Democrat is way ahead of her in the state. She's enjoyed a 30-year run in that,
correct.
And that tells you how nuts Yankees can be with their voting. The thing is that she pissed off money, real money.
Yes,
that got thrown against her, and that was the office, Stephen King. He is
against
her
right.
politically, and has been very vociferous in the state of Maine that we got to get rid of this bitch. She said,
"You don't
want to
have Stephen King against you."
Right?
No, not when you've endowed the state universities and libraries and everything else with zillions of bucks worth of. He can turn ahead much quicker than she can, and she is a complicit, self-serving Republican who has done damage to this country.
She was the one that cast the vote that allowed Kavanaugh to go in. She was the one that cast the vote that said, well, I think Trump has learned his lesson. We're not going to, you know, no. Yeah, Trump learned his lesson that I can get away with anything because I've counted out these Senate Republicans. He should have been removed from office back when he was impeached.
So how do you know, it's
interesting. If he had been removed, it would have been February 5th. This is when the vote came. And the next day was the first death from COVID-19. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So if he had been forced out, it would have been President Pence from February 6th having to deal with it. And the question is, without Trump there, would he have done things differently? Then it's one of those what-ifs. We'll never know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that ship has sailed. It could go on a new way.
It's just an interesting scenario to write a novel about.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering how do you gentlemen think the country will shift with Biden as president? Because the minute the election's over, that lame duck begins to happen and things fall apart like threads coming off with the Republicans because they're going to run and duck for cover. How do you think things will shift as far as the treatment of the pandemic? How will the country change?
Well, let me go first this time. Okay, we'll take turns, guys, and I'll go first this time. If we have a majority House and Senate, there will be laws to be passed, to be addressed, pushed through a lot of programs within the first 100 days or so, right? That's what I'm thinking, and I'm hoping that that's what our total Republican and Senate will do. guarantee you, when it hits the desk of Joe Biden, it'll be signed, and things will be happening and moving forwards, at least into a positive direction or a direction that has more sane science behind it.
All right. I agree completely with what you just said.
There you go.
Absolutely, Wayne, yes.
David, what's your thought on that?
Well, I think Biden will create a nationwide policy of testing and data collection and tracking, which is sorely needed right now. But as far as the actual pandemic, I just don't really see what he could possibly do to. I mean, he can level it out, but I mean, the horse is already out of the barn right now.
David, I agree with you. You're 100% correct. It's going to take science. It's going to take money to get a vaccine going. And like Fauci said, he says, basically, this is going to be like a year down the road before we really develop a true vaccine that could be used, tested, and safe for humans, and find out it really is working.
Will
it's going to be a year down the road.
Will he reach?
And it's going to take education, too. I mean,
you still have
one-third of the population that's refusing to wear masks, and they still think
it's the flu or less.
And it's a big conspiracy, and you have to deal with those people.
And I'm worried we're going to have a bigger wave coming because of the flu season coinciding with COVID-19 by October, just like in October 1918.
Right. Well, now let me interject here real quick so the listeners don't get confused. Yeah, the flu season is a flu. This COVID is a virus. They're two different animals. But if you get the two of them pairing up together, hitting at the same time, then you have a real issue.
And that's going to be an issue among college students that are going back to campus.
Well, college students, how about your kids going back to kindergarten?
Elementary, middle, and high school. Yeah.
Right, yes, all of it, yes.
Okay, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
A minute here. Do you think that Biden will see this as enough of an emergency to send us into lockdown on a completely countrywide basis and to make sure that the Congress reenacts the income back to everybody, like every other Western country and Eastern countries across the planet right now? People think that Europe is doing well and getting back to business as usual, which is furthest from the truth. What Europe has done is contained by keeping people at home, having only those necessary workers out there using masks and safety precautions, and they are giving an income to their citizenry so that they keep their freaking economy going and people aren't in the streets starving.
Exactly.
That's what's going on in Europe. In this country, we already have, there was already one guffle in Brooklyn this weekend because they came landlord came with security to begin evicting some families from a building, and police came and said, no, you're not going to evict them, but it wasn't before there was bloodshed. I mean, there's, and that's just one little thing that's going around on the Twitter holler with New York City. Mm-hmm. But these SOBs that walked out to go home till past Labor Day, it's unbelievably cruel what is going on right now. Unbelievably cruel. And I'm wondering if Biden is cognizant enough of all of this and what it's going to take. I mean, I really do think it's going to take a complete shutdown. What you guys think, I don't know.
I agree.
Go ahead, Professor.
Yeah, I would agree completely that we have to have a shutdown and we have to get more people to wear masks, although there are people who say it's their constitutional right not to wear a mask. And I don't know how you're going to get everybody to do it, but, the same thing, people think they have only rights, no responsibilities. That's really what worries me.
Right.
But I think he will shut down.
They threw him in jail. in the urban centers when the flu epidemic went out. If you weren't wearing a mask, you get hauled off in the paddy wagon. I mean, they really, no, you make it a mandate. This is for, you know, these are, and I know this is a tricky thing because look what Obama did that allowed Trump to get away with so much from the office of the presidency. I get that. But it really needs to be done. And the other thing that is scaring the hell out of me and just makes me sit down and cry, guys, is children being sent to school, and I mean children all the way through college, getting sent to school. What about those teachers? What about those teachers?
Yes.
I mean, they should be striking.
No, I was going to say.
In some areas, they are striking the teachers or professors. Some areas, yeah.
Yeah, I have a niece. There's a lot of teachers in my family, and I obviously have a niece, an English teacher. And now, right now, she's gone back. She's had to go back into the classroom, but it's still virtual teaching. In other words, she is broadcasting from her classroom to the students at home. But the thought is, the next step is we're going to start introducing students back into that classroom after, like, you know, the first half of the semester's gone.
That's not right.
No.
David, what do you think? Do you have a son who's still in school, right?
Yeah, he's going online only. There's no way he's going to public school.
That's,
I mean,
it's
not really the kids. You know, wearing a mask is not enforceable in that environment.
No.
You know, it's it's just impossible. So,
right.
You know, I want to bring up the fact that I think they just announced – today that 33 people, sororities at the OSU, Oklahoma State University, sorority house, just tested positive. And so they're isolating the whole sorority. and that's going to be the way it is. All these public schools, 3 or 4 weeks after opening up, they're going to have these big hot spots that they'll have to take care of.
It's already jumped up 40% just from trying to introduce them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, about young children, school-age children, the rate of contracting the COVID-19 virus has jumped up 40%.
Yeah, it's not fair for the teachers, and it's not fair for all the support group, the cafeteria workers, the candidates,
and all
that stuff.
How about
bringing
it up to the parents and grandparents?
Yeah,
you know,
it's just not there.
I've got 3.5-year-old twin boys, right? You know, they're forced to go back to kindergarten. And, you know, I go over there and, you know, I give them a hug. Next thing you know, granddad's definitely ill.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It just seems like the United States is the only country that has defined freedoms and patriotism as the ability to do anything that you want to without repercussion to society.
Right.
I mean,
it's disgraceful.
Not wearing a mask is the cause of freedoms, and people that wear masks are sheep. I mean, what kind of conversation is that? No other country would have that conversation.
No.
Yeah. Well, I know people who say trying to force masks is Marxism. Can you believe that? Crazy.
Yeah, that's they always pull out that old boogeyman, don't they, Professor? New Zealand went like 100 and some days, plus 120 days, with no COVID contractions and outbreaks. But then they saw some spike back up, but they knew exactly where the hotspot was. They attacked it. They got it shut down. They're containing it. So wherever it comes to pop up now, they can quickly identify it and jump on it and start addressing it. In this country, unfortunately, it is so non-coherently, no tangibility spread out. We have to get it stopped and get it contained, and then should some spot pop up, then we can start addressing it and treating it like surgical cancer, removing a tumor.
Yes, you're right. You look at Taiwan, how good Taiwan has been, you know?
Yes. Well, there you go.
Well, but then
unfortunately, the pandemic sort of highlights, you know, a big flaw of the country that there's a lot of, I guess I call them religious types that have sort of forsaken science and forsaken data, and then you add into this conspiracy stuff with Q and all that other things. It's like the very worst time that a pandemic can occur is now, because you all have all these people that are rejecting science and saying, you know, let Jesus take the wheel and all this other stuff. And
right.
And normally a national leader would sort of be able to suppress that. It's always been there
right.
in the United States.
Right. Well,
but
was,
you got the guy that tries to grift off of it and tries to take advantage of it to get himself elected. And
yeah.
it's just the very worst situation possible.
It is very disturbing, I wanted to say, that now a QAnon believer, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has been elected to the House from Georgia in a heavily Republican district, so she's going to be the new congresswoman, and she's going to make Louie Gohmert look moderate.
she's not going to last long.
No, but I'm saying she's going to be in the House making hell, you know.
Wait a minute. One at a time, Josh.
What'd you say, David?
Has anybody ever researched any of that Q stuff at all? I mean, it is like, I mean, excuse the language, just batshit crazy.
It's incredible. Everything from cannibalism to, it's all, I think they do lay most of the fault of it at Hillary's door, which is an easy out.
Maybe she was involved in a child sex ring. Oh, my God.
Donald is bringing a halt to the horrible child sex ring that's been going on in this country for many years under Democrats and liberals and yada yada yada. Somebody explain to me again what a snowflake is.
I don't know.
The amazing thing is that they're taking Trump as their moralistic leader that's leading the whole thing, that's, you know, taking the great awakening or whatever they want to call it, and everybody gets thrown in jail from this pedophile ring. But, I mean, Trump is, like, he's the guy that pays off the porno stars and, you know, cheated on his wife while she was having an...
Yeah, a newborn baby and stuff. And, well, like I said, there is a 13-year-old girl. The parents have been... trying to get the sample. This was at Jeffrey Epstein's underage teens orgy parties. The parents of the girl, she was 13 years old. Trump raped her four times over the orgy weekend. And the parents found out, and they were demanding a DNA sample to be taken. He's fought it in court through Cohen and stuff, fought it in court, and now he became president, and he has, oh, I have the immunity. You can't take my DNA. Trump loses that. They get his DNA there in New York because that's where the case is, and it matches up with the DNA that 13-year-old girl had. That guy, if they don't throw him in jail and he's not ass-raped by the prisoners and the general population, then justice hasn't been served.
Yeah, I think I read that the DNA sample has been demanded by a court, and I think he's going to have to give it.
You may be right there, Professor, but he's using the presidency still of trying to hold on.
Yeah,
I think you're right there. So, but getting back to the idiocy of everything and the anti-science mentality of some of these, of this Q, whatever they're called. When they stand up and say that the world is flat and this is just a conspiracy of liberals, that the world is round, it's not true. I'm sorry, David, please tell me your take on this.
I mean, what take
is it? Men of science and engineering and,
Oh, it's just complete dribble. And there's no take on it. It doesn't even reach that level of discussion.
No, thank you. But yet they get broadcasted and brought up, the guy spent $20,000 of his own money to build a rocket that took him out to 10,000 or 7,000 feet because he was going to prove the world was flat. Well, then it came back down. Then he built another one that shot him up higher. And again, spent tens of thousands of dollars for it. Well, this one here failed and basically came home to go back to Earth and killed himself. And I thought to myself, gee, for a couple $100, he's going to got a plane ticket and been up at 30,000 feet and looked out the window. I mean, come on, damn it.
Well, he did prove that gravity works.
That's right. 32 feet per second. Good job.
I've read that the QAnon conspiracy theory also talks about John F. Kennedy Jr. claiming he did not get killed, that he's alive and living under an assumed name, I read. Can you believe that?
Oh, Jesus, God.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be under an assumed name when he's a Kennedy?
I got nothing, Professor. It's too stupid for me to even try to get my head wrapped around it.
That's it.
The whole thing is that if you, you know, try to have discussions with pigs, you eventually start smelling like you're covered in shit.
That's
you just can't have a discussion with it.
And after you wrestled with the pig and shit, then after a while you figured out the pig likes it.
Well, you know, the other terrible thing about what he's doing with the Postal Department right now is that for many of us who are in business for ourselves, especially, you know, small makers who have been making out during this and everything, I mean, I have an email or two a day or a phone call saying, you know, where's my package? And it's like, well, it will be delivered. There's a problem with the post office. What gets to me is that most of the people that I would call, you know, my customer base or clientele, these are people who are usually very woke. But it seems that people have turned the news off because of the depression factor of it. And I don't blame them. I mean, I try like hell. I got to tell you, I try like hell not to look at the news. I will go over to MSNBC, frankly, at like maybe 8 o'clock. And if Chris Hayes is not giving me what I need, I go over to Anderson Cooper, who, by the way, I am so shocked, surprised, and happy to see is trying to tear Trump apart with every being of his fiber right now. I just go once a day, if at all. But my kid sister, who has a better emotional stamina meter than I do lately, will be on the news during the day trying to figure out what's going on, and she'll walk out going, you know, you can't believe what that son of a bee did.
Well, I'm that way, too. I watch or listen all day long because I'm a junkie. What can I say?
Right, well. And what I'm with Glenn is there's points in time that I just have to shut it down, refuse to watch it, because my mental health of knowing the inside track of what I know is going on and facts and stuff through connections of where I've done the encrypted communication and, you know, and then other aspects that I still have some connections and good, reliable, factual sources from, and what's being stated on the news, because all they're doing is repeating what Trump said today, I have to shut it off because I cannot handle it mentally for a while. I have to shut it down.
It works on my blood pressure and just for my own physical health. I have to stay away from it. But then I go and, you know, I scroll as somebody close to me will say, oh, you're in face crack. You know, it's like I'm scrolling through and I'm getting the news. Anyways, night before last, I had a horrible allergic, something is looming in the area that I had a really horrible, you can still hear it, my voice, this horrible allergy attack from. And I was congested, sneezing. I mean, it got really, really bad. I was up for like 2 hours in the middle of the night with it. And the next day I was like a wet rag, you know. And it's like, okay, let's do the COVID dance again. You know, I mean, people, if they're not upset about what is happening daily in the news, then there, every little thing that happens, whether it's an allergy attack, and the allergies have been really bad, the dust storm that came over this year was double horrible. There's, you know, it's just that we have a thing called global warming going on, and it would not surprise me a bit to find out in the long run that whatever this, the nuclei of this pandemic actually came out of permafrost that's melting down. And what does that bode for the years ahead type of thing? I do think we're in a forced cycle of evolution here, honestly. But people are like, and David has mentioned this on this show, every time he's been on, he's quite right. We're all at a collective PTSD stage where,
yeah.
you know, I
mean,
that's
a good analogy. I like that.
Well, I see the kids outside, and sometimes the mom comes out now and says, out, come in now. And she's frantic. And it's like, what got her? Well, probably what got her was she just saw something on the news that freaked her out. And she's mm-hmm. like, okay, kids can't play in the yard now. You know, and it's traveled down to our children. And the children
yeah,
know
yeah.
what is going on. But if you send third graders into school right now, and one little guy has a Spider-Man mask and the other one has an Incredible Hulk mask,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, they're going to come home switched masks.
Wearing each other's masks.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, there's just no – and in high school – with the
mm-hmm.
puberty what? Explosion that goes on, yeah, he's going to stop
sure.
trying to get a kiss off for her. You
damn
know,
right.
It's, just,
I know
it's not freaking feasible. It has to be, you know, parents have to. I know my good friend in Massachusetts, her son is a senior this year. He's got a girlfriend. They've been tested. They've been locked down by their parents. The parents talk
uh-huh.
to one another. So the kids can spend a couple hours together, you know,
right.
at one another's
right.
houses for, you know, and that keeps them sane.
Right.
And
let me throw this one out, Gwen. You were going back to – let's take the young kids. They're back to school. And, of course, like I said, we've already established the COVID-19 contagious the spike has been 40% among these school students. What if one of those little sixth graders dies from that? How are the other kids going to handle? Or there are two of them. You
they
know?
Are. There are children dying of this.
Yes,
there
are.
20
years old.
So think
15,
of the mental
yeah.
stress. You talk about post-traumatic syndrome. Think about being 6 years old, a first grader, and your best little friend died of COVID. You got sick, but he died. How do you
yeah,
think that's
well,
going to affect him the rest of his
parents,
life?
Parents have a way of dealing with that ignores the facts. To keep the child placated. I mean, oh, your little friend, he had to move, his dad had to move away, or whatever. I mean, kids.
No,
parents,
I wouldn't lie to him, but I wouldn't lie to him. It's just, you know, yeah, it's just that you got sick, and little Bobby got sick, and I'm sorry, but he went to heaven.
And if you
and
don't
well,
think
then
six,
holla,
year,
you know.
6 year olds, and 7 year olds, and 10 year olds, and 11 year olds are not getting a whole lot of crap over their little telephones. And they've all got them. All of them
mm-hmm.
have got them.
Yeah.
If you
yep.
think that they're not getting all of this, then you're nuts. I mean, the only one I know here who has a son that's, you know, of age is David. And I don't know how Julian's taking Dave or what goes on with him. He's probably a pretty even-minded kid who's going, well, you know, they're all crazy. I'm going to stay home. But.
He's taking it pretty well. I mean, he's bored. You know, sometimes
yeah.
some days he's more bored than others, but he has his online friends, and most of those online friends are the same friends that he had at school, and they play
yeah.
games and they talk back and forth, and you know, they use Discord quite a bit back and forth. You know, none of them have Facebook. By
okay.
the way,
I don't know what Discord is software of. Like a
yeah, how old is your
software?
Son?
He's going to be 16.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
He's a sophomore in high school, so.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so he's right
yeah,
in the middle of it. Yeah.
You know,
in
some ways, the kids were sort of prepared because a lot of them are online. They spend a lot of time online anyway. You know, they had their phones
right.
and they had this other stuff.
Yeah.
So, you
they're
know, we tend
than,
to put the
yeah.
world in what we view our world as we were at that age. And it's not the same thing. You know, I mean, we would have went crazy, you know, because the first thing I ever did was jump in the car and, you know, go driving around and get a carload of people and party and
oh,
all
yeah.
that stuff. But
yeah.
that doesn't happen now. I mean, my kid really doesn't even care about driving.
Do you
part
oh
of that
my
is
gosh.
Understand. I know. It's strange.
I'm like, no, the first thing at 15, I still had the outboard, and we'd jump in the boat and go to the corner store, walk across the street to the corner store and get a bottle of Boone's Farm each.
Oh, yeah.
And go out to see.
It's not that world today.
It is not. It is not.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Right.
We do have a caller, and I'm going to open the mic to the caller, which is an online caller. I don't know if the caller is calling in or just listening in, but whoever the caller is with the 111, your mic is open. Are you joining the conversation?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I actually called in to call in. How are you?
Oh, good, good. And who are you? Introduce yourself, please.
Sure. Can I give you instead of my real name, I'm actually kind of well known on YouTube. Do you mind if I give you my YouTube name, or do you need my real name?
That's Glenn's call.
You can use any name you'd like. This is an open conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. My YouTube name is The Universe Galaxy. I do a lot of NBA videos. I have a very popular page, over 23 million hits.
Cool.
I sometimes call Block Talk radio programs or any program. I'm new to your program. I don't think I've ever called before, so I want to make sure that we're on the same page. Does your program take any topic, or do you stick on certain topics?
We're basically a progressive roundtable of talk about the week in review.
Kind of
with
current events aspects. Yeah.
Oh,
what's in the news, and we talk about it and give an analysis of it.
Okay, so it's not general topics. I think the topics
no,
I had in mind were not from the last week necessarily. I had some topics just for general things. So you don't take general topics?
What's your general topic, sir?
Okay. I have four of them. You tell me if you like them or not. If you don't like them, no problem. I'll hang up and I'll have a good day. I hope you like them.
Keep listening. It's a good show.
To be honest with you, if you did hang up on me, I'd probably just end up calling another topic program. I like to bring up certain topics and have a debate and go over different points. So I got four of them. I'm going to guess two of them you'll like and two of them you won't. So I'm going to throw them out there. You tell me which ones you like. The first one is a light one. It's a sports one. I consider Michael Jordan fans the worst NBA fans. It's a very light topic. I'm going to assume you probably
that doesn't fit.
Okay, no problem. Second topic, this is where it's going to get heavier and heavier. It's going to get heavier as I give all three. The second topic, I'm an independent. I'm not part of any political party. I don't care about any side. My goal is case by case. I have come to the conclusion after years of research and listening to AM radio and listening to the left and right that although I'm not a fan of either side, Republicans are worse than Democrats. That's my conclusion. Is that on the topic you're interested in, or should I get the next one?
Well, we agree with you.
Well, I was going to say, what's your next one?
Okay,
next one?
Third one. I find it very sad that in a world where people believe in God, I believe in God, and even if you're atheist, you believe in nothing. You don't believe in God. You believe in science. I believe in science. And people call themselves animal lovers. These same people will contradict themselves and support a business that allows torture and killing of animals just for people who want to eat them when they don't have to eat them.
Peter, tell me what you're talking about.
That's a valid point.
Yes,
that
that's a good
a
one.
Valid
yes.
Point.
Okay. And the last topic, and I'm pretty sure I saved this one for last because this is always the heaviest. And I noticed when I bring this up on any program, most people are willing to have an open conversation, but I notice a lot of people just get emotional and they assume really ridiculous things about you and they hang up on you. So whatever you do next, I can assure you, I know every argument you're going to give. It's just a
you're
matter of
building up the tension.
I know I am. And by the way, even though I'm building it up, I can assure you it shouldn't be controversial. It's actually a very factual, logical, reasonable thing, if you believe in God or you don't, or if you go by science or you don't. Here's the topic. When a guy, a heterosexual guy, graduates high school, okay, he's no longer in high school, he's a guy, is he supposed to stop being attracted to girls in high school?
Okay.
Not me. I'm a full-blown heterosexual, man. I knew at a young age what I liked, so that's I don't throw rocks either, okay?
I got a question for you.
Sure.
And how does How does that, that's just a heterosexual male, right? No other mix in that, right? Just men.
Yeah, I'm a heterosexual guy, so I know that more versus a homosexual.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, I have to disqualify myself in a certain way, but.
No problem. I actually hope, out of all four, I hope you pick the animal one or the guy who attracted a high school girl one. But if you, I noticed it's up to you. It's your program. I threw out all four topics. It's up to you if you're interested in any of them. Then.
Well can I just say to me, why do you think Republicans are worse?
When you say that a person graduates high school and they're still supposed to be attracted to them, now are you distinguishing between? Maybe having a thought of attractiveness as opposed to some sort of action upon it?
To me, it's like food. If you have the hunger for food, it is natural to eat the food. If you have our hot outside on a summer's day, it is natural to have shade. If you have the ability to love someone, it is natural to love. So put it all together, if you are attracted to a woman, not a child, I'm not for pedophilia.
Pedophile's off the table, bud. That's right. Pedophile's off the table.
It is normal to be attracted to a teenage girl. And when people disagree with me, I've noticed a couple of things happen. First, facts go out the window. Nobody wants to acknowledge biologically it's normal, common sense it's normal. Even the law considers it legal in most of America. It's not 18 in most of America. It's actually under 18 in most of America. And then the last thing is the hypocrisy. This really bothers me, the hypocrisy. A human being will tell you, oh, they're children. Don't be attracted to them. Don't have sex with them. Stay away or you're a pedophile. And then the same person will go on in his own time. He'll put on teenage pornography. He'll put on horror movies that show teenage girls in a sexual way. He'll support beauty pageants that have teenage girls. And he'll let teenage girls have a job, drive a car, join the military. I mean, I could give you more examples, but the point is
I think what you're doing is you're presenting a slippery slope here. I think if you were to, like, walk past a restaurant and you saw someone with a big plate of spaghetti that looked very appetizing, I think it would be against social norms for you to go over to that plate and start eating off that food without, you know, the rigors of society. And
you're saying, okay, if you find something attractive, why can't you go for that?
And that's not society. Society has rules.
It's
objectification of women, young women.
Let me address this, please. Remember I said to you, I've noticed people ignore facts. Look at what he just did. I clearly showed him that in most of America, it's not 18. And he tells me society has norms as if it's against society. He ignored that fact. Another example, he showed me how you can't just go take the spaghetti. That's true because you're taking something away from someone. When two people decide to have sex, if an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old have sex, they're not hurting anybody. Some of them fall in love and some of them get married. You can find tons of letters from old-timers who will say, oh, I met him when we were high school sweethearts. We were in college. We fell in love. But the guy on the phone literally is ignoring the facts and just taking it the wrong way. He's taking it in a negative way.
Well, he's taking it in a negative way. What I'm saying is that there's not considered a legal age. And I think what you're trying to do by slippery slope is you're trying to present a situation where if someone falls in love with someone else or is attracted to someone else, why should age be of concern? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, well, that was one thing, but the other thing was the hypocrisy point. You didn't go for the hypocrisy. If you believe that everyone under 18 or some people under 18, whatever you believe, they're children, they're not adults, they're not mentally stable, whatever you come up with, all I ask is be consistent. Don't tell me a 17-year-old shouldn't have sex, but a 17-year-old should be glorified in a sexual way, have a beauty pageant, drive a car, have a job, join the military, have a boyfriend. And I could give you way more examples, but you get the point. There's a lot of hypocrisy on this topic.
How is a girl driving a car at 17 a sexual attraction?
No, because it's a matter of if you think they're children and they can't make a rational argument or a rational point, then no child should have a job or drive a car or join a beauty pageant. And a guy cannot tell me it's not normal and then put on teenage pornography. You know, teenage pornography is one of the most popular topics for men. Most guys put on pornography if they tell you they don't
like it. Jeffrey Epstein and Trump, I have to agree with you. Yes, they like the little teenage girls because they see that virgin aspect that is titillating to them.
it's not just
saying.
Gone. No,
it's still
it's
against
not,
the
no,
law.
There,
welcome
no,
to
it's
patriarchy
not, no, it's not against
101.
The law. It's not against the law. It's not against the law. In most of America, it's not 18. Again, you guys are not paying attention to
no,
that
no,
part.
No. Hold on right there now. In Delaware, for many, many years, I think they just raised it up a little bit because of the Amish there, the consenting age in Delaware was 12.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, that was too damn young.
But
that was the law in Delaware.
I agree with you, but would you acknowledge a person who's a 17-year-old senior cheerleader in high school is not the same as a 12-year-old child in junior high?
Well, there's got to be some kind of a cutoff point somewhere, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well,
it's
whether or not the parents, it's a minor, the girl is a minor, and it's the parents who do the prosecuting.
Okay.
It's not the girl.
Okay, Jeff.
Well, they also prosecute innocent
Producer is butting in at this point and saying, you know, without giving my opinion on this and saying, thank you very much for your contribution.
There you go.
Thank you. You're welcome.
But what we're debating here is not in context at all.
Right.
So
it's really not where we are.
I'm going to say thank you very much, and we appreciate
you're very
your call in.
That's very nice to meet you. You gave
take care.
Okay, gentlemen. This is what the woman on the panel has to say about that.
Yes, ma'am. Go for
We're talking about objectification, and it can be done to young boys too. Don't get
Absolutely.
Me wrong. But this is patriarchy pure and simple. And this
yes.
is what is being pulled down off the good wood right now. And what this gentleman was doing was setting it up so that he could equivocate his own desires or his own agenda there for conversation.
That's what I was reading into it. Yeah.
To basically say that it's all right to have all this objectification, and you know, he is right. It's all over the movies. It's all over the this, that, and the other. But especially David, you know, who's coming back at it, and who's that, and who knows? You know, it's somebody
who's
scratching
yeah. Who's that on the
microphone? Yeah, come on. Y'all get still now.
Have you already hung up on this guy, right?
Yeah.
I did.
Done.
I asked him out of there after thanking him for calling, but he was just setting it up to qualify his own desires. And
you're absolutely
nothing,
right. That's what he was doing. And
it was very Freudian. It was screaming his own very Freudianship. He might even be being sued for statutory rape by some 16-year-old parents, and he may be 21. You know.
This is a male dominant. This is a male dominant policy, and it's wrong. And it's
I agree with
wrong.
You. I wish he had brought. I wish we had discussed why he thinks Republicans are worse. It would have been more relevant to mention Republicans worse.
It wasn't the point. The question was to make it seem like it was a survey of some sort, or you know, the first question was a subterfuge to what he really wanted to ask or debate.
His real agenda,
His
real agenda was he wants to argue about, you know, first of all, a 17 or 18-year-old boy having sex with a 17-year-old girl in high school. Oh, my God, we're at the end of the show. But it happens all the time. It happens
What a closer.
Woof, boys. Woof. Welcome to Trump world.
Oh,
that's right.
That was...
I can't thank you all enough.
And conservative religious fanatics, you know.
I can't thank
this
you
week's
all
the DNC. Let's all watch and hope for great speeches.
Absolutely, Professor. Good one.
I will wait for the recaps. But anyways, thank you all, gentlemen, for being here with me tonight. David, thank you for being there, and Okie Stan.
Always
you.
A pleasure, David. Professor.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks,
Ron,
everyone. Yes.
Ron, take care. Everybody stay safe, please. Keep your family safe and stay sane.
And in honor of our good friend, who we hope will be coming back to us soon, Jack Joe Dale, I will close the show by saying, keep pushing forward. Good night, all.
Good night. This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show, political roundtable, and sometimes odd argumentations. We'll be back next Sunday at 6 o'clock. And always, please feel free to call in. Thank you, and good night.